The second face of intention is one of my absolute favorites. I call it the face of kindness. It is my intention to be at peace with everyone in my life, including all of my relatives. That's my intention. I insist that I will be at that place in my life. And so how do you do that? You have to, again, look at the resistance, look at the thoughts, and suggest to yourself, I am going to be kindness. Yesterday, we went to a movie. I came home from the movie, and there was a man on the street in Boston who was homeless. And he was mentally challenged, obviously. And he had a little cup, and he asked for some change. And I looked at him, and I always send a sort of a silent blessing to these people. And then I was walking, and I kept thinking, you're giving a talk tomorrow about kindness. And I went back, and I had about $4 worth of change in my pocket. And I had to chase him. He went downstairs someplace, and he was dirty, and he was, and he couldn't speak right. And I took this change, and I just took his cup, and I put it. And you'd have thought that I had given this man, $1 million. I mean, he followed me. He couldn't stop thinking. Tears were coming down. The simple little act of kindness. And I'm not suggesting to every single one of you that everybody who asks you for money, you are obliged to give them money. But can you give them a silent blessing? Can you give them a smile? Instead of using them as a reason to be upset. And you have to, folks, you got to do this with all of your relatives as well, particularly your own children and your own parents. You got to look at them and see, every time that I have a thought that is not one of kindness, what I am doing is I am leaving the source and taking on ego consciousness. Here's a fascinating piece of research. You know what serotonin is? Serotonin is like this neurotransmitter, this enzyme in the body, in the brain. And the more of it that you have, the better you feel. It's the well-being feeling. And this well-being feeling is something that antidepressants are designed to stimulate. So that when you take these names that have become common out there, we associate this with, they are designed to stimulate the production of serotonin. Serotonin is very difficult to measure. It's done through the metabolites in the urine, but they're getting better at measuring it. Here's a fascinating study that was just completed. That any person who is the recipient of an act of kindness has their serotonin levels increased just because they received an act of kindness. And their immune system is strengthened because they received this dose of kindness. That's the recipient. And secondly, any person who is the giver, the provider of an act of kindness, anything you ever do which is a providing an act of kindness, and that's, see, here's a universal source that can't be anything other than what it is. It can't be something foreign to itself. So it doesn't, it's always creating, are you? It is always creating what it creates, treating it with kindness. Here, this source can create worlds. It creates planets and systems. And whether you look through the microscope or whether you look through the telescope, it's impossible to say which has the grander view. It's impossible to say because they all lead to infinity. And this is a source that creates worlds. It creates you. It doesn't, why would it create? It can create anything. Why would it create stuff that it's not kindly for it? Like avocados? No thanks. I don't want an avocado. Why would it do that? It doesn't have to. It can create anything, this source from which all emanates. If you are the provider of an act of kindness towards anyone, but particularly towards the people that you're close to in your life, and particularly towards strangers, with just a smile or an act of kindness, or, I can afford a quarter, I can afford a dollar, I'm going to go back. And just, and not making a big deal about it, the serotonin levels in you are increased in the same, to the same degree that they are in the receiver. And so is your immune system strengthened. You want to strengthen your immune system? Be kind. But even more dramatic than that, I get excited about this. Because this is what blows me away about, is that the observer of an act of kindness, the observer of an act of kindness has their serotonin levels and their immune system strengthened just because they're in the energy field of someone who is displaying kindness. When you see someone being kind to another person, it's like a dose of an antidepressant. It's like a serotonin rush. Very often in my talk, I'll ask, who is the person out there in the audience who had someone buy your ticket? Because you couldn't afford it. And you couldn't afford to come here, and they paid your way to get here. And they just wanted you to be here because they felt it was so important that you be there. And someone will always raise their hand, I'll bring them up, and I'll say, so what did they spend? And they'll say, $100. They gave me $100, and they couldn't even afford it themselves. And I'll reach in my pocket, and I'll hand her the $100. And I'll say, could I extend to you this kindness back so that you can repay that person? And everyone, you can see teeth that you couldn't see for the previous hour. Everybody is smiling and laughing and happy and excited. And all it cost me $100. You know how much antidepressant you'd have to take? That's $10,000 worth of pills. And you got to call your doctor. Do I need the purple one? I want to get some clams. I don't know if I'm going to get this. Every act of kindness. Let me share with you a story. It's a story that I included in The Power of Intention. It's a story that I want to share here with you today. It is one of the most beautiful, and it's a true story as well. It goes like this. I call it the Shia story. In Brooklyn, New York, this is titled, Where is God's Perfection? In Brooklyn, New York, CHUSH, C-H-U-S-H, CHUSH, is a school that caters to learning disabled children. Some children remain in CHUSH for their entire school career, while others can be mainstreamed into conventional schools. At a CHUSH fundraising event, a dinner, the father of a CHUSH child delivered a speech that would never be forgotten by all who attended. After extolling the school and its dedicated staff, he cried out, "Where is the perfection in my son Shia? Everything God does is done with perfection, but my child cannot remember facts and figures as other children do. Where is God's perfection here?" The audience was shocked by the question and pained by the father's anguish and stilled by the piercing query. "I believe," the father answered, "that when God brings a child like Shia into the world, the perfection that he seeks is in the way people react to this child." He then told the following story about his son Shia. One afternoon, Shia and his father walked past a park where some boys Shia knew were playing baseball. Shia asked his father, "Do you think they'll let me play?" Shia's father knew that his son was not at all athletic and that most boys wouldn't even want him on their team, but Shia's father understood that if his son was chosen to play, it would give him a sense of belonging. And as you know, Maslow's highest level of consciousness is on that pyramid is a feeling of belonging. And Shia never felt that way. Shia's father approached one of the boys on the field and asked if Shia could play. The boy looked around for some guidance from his teammates, and getting none, he took matters into his own hands, and he said, "Well, we're losing by 6 runs, and the game is in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team, and we'll try to put him up to bat in the 9th inning. Shia's father was ecstatic as Shia smiled broadly. Shia was told to put on a glove and go out to play in center field. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shia's team scored a few runs, but they were still behind by 3. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shia's team scored again, and now with 2 outs and the bases loaded, Shia was scheduled to be up with the potential winning run on base. Would the team actually let Shia bat at this juncture of the game and give away their chance to win? Surprisingly, Shia was given the bat. Everyone knew that it was all but impossible because Shia didn't even know how to hold a bat, let alone hit with it. However, as Shia stepped up to the plate, the pitcher moved in a few steps so he could lob the ball in softly so that Shia would at least be able to make contact with the ball. The first pitch came in. Shia swung clumsily and he missed. And then one of Shia's teammates came up out of the dugout, and together he and Shia held the bat and faced the opposing pitcher waiting for the next pitch, the two of them. The pitcher again took in a few more steps toward Shia so he could toss the ball even more softly. And as the pitch came in, Shia and his teammate together swung the bat, and together they hit a slow ground ball to the pitcher. The pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could easily have thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shia would have been out, and that would have ended the game. But instead, the pitcher took the ball and threw it on a high arc to right field, far beyond the reach of the first baseman. Everyone started yelling, "Shia, Shia, run to first, run to first." Never in his life had Shia run to first. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. By the time he reached first base, the right fielder had the ball, and he could have thrown the ball to the second baseman who would tag out Shia, who was still running. But the right fielder understood what the pitcher's intentions were. So he threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Everyone yelled, "Run to second, Shia, run to second." Shia ran toward second base as the runners ahead of him deliriously circled the bases toward home. As Shia reached second base, the opposing shortstop ran up to him, turned him in the direction of third base, and shouted, "Run to third, Shia, run to third." As Shia rounded third, the boys from both teams ran behind him screaming, "Shia, Shia, run home, run home." Shia ran home, stepped on home plate, and all 18 boys lifted him on their shoulders and made him the hero as he had just hit a grand slam and won the game for his team. "That day," said his father, now with soft tears rolling down his face, "those 18 boys reached their level of God's perfection." Is that a beautiful story? It always touches me.